This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, the Public Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. We've been talking about 9/11 and World Trade Center issues. If you get to LibertyCalling.com and kind of scroll down the first part of the page, you'll see some of these links that Dr. Larson has been talking about. I have posted a front page story at Breaking All the Rules News today in regard to Dr. Larson's appearance on this show for the Republic Broadcasting Network, with links specifically to these 9/11 stories, 9/11 Mysteries Part 1, Demolitions, with the Sophia Schafquat video that Ron was talking about earlier, the story, Why Indeed Did the WTC Buildings Completely Collapse, with reference, again, URL link to Stephen E. Jones's Journal of 9/11 Studies article from September of 2006, how the towers were demolished, with a link to Gordon Ross's work in August of 2006 on this subject, 9/11, the World Trade Center building collapse, acceleration study proves explosive demolition, that gets into an article by a gentleman by the name of Frank Leggy, I believe.
Yep.
Logistical Systems Consulting down in Perth, Western Australia, in the Journal of 9/11 Studies in November of 2006. You can find those by going directly to Dr. Ron Larson's site at LibertyCalling.com, or if you happen to be surfing Breaking All the Rules News today, you will see all of this on the front page with links to Ron's site and links to these posts that he has. Go ahead, sir.
Yep. Okay, good. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's important to repeat those things, especially, you know, I know people often come into a show at a weird hour. They're doing something else, and they, okay, well, how do I get the information? Yeah, that's how you get it. Go to those two sites. Drop me an email also at ron@libertycalling.com, and if you'll put in the subject line, Mark Dankoff Show, I'll be able to sort it out from all the spam in there. And be able to answer you. I'll be glad to do that. This is fun stuff. Anyway, we were going over the information here, and we're trying to summarize things. We said, as part of the summary, there were little pieces of bones found on the roof across the way. You know, concrete turned to dust. We looked at that, sweetheart. We looked at beams, steel beams being thrown hundreds of yards up and over and around. I mean, a lot of them. They look like little sticks in a photograph, but they were big, big sweethearts. They were poking out of the buildings. And I said, my goodness, where do you get all that energy? If you think about it, remember I alluded to the business of crushing of steel. It doesn't make sense. You drop a block from, I don't care what height, and onto, say, the pavement, and it turns into dust. That's not true. It turns into... yeah, some does, but it turns into trunks and pieces. It doesn't transform it into face powder size particles, you know? It really doesn't. So how do you do this? How can it happen that you can turn, say, concrete or anything else into just poof? By the way, there weren't bodies found there. Maybe there were downstairs. But, you know, by and large, there were an awful lot of pieces missing. There were fingers and hands and arms and things like that around. But how do you do that? Well, a lot of ways you can blow something up. You know, use TNT, use dynamite, Louis, blow the building up. Well, it turns out that there are a lot of different kinds of explosives. The ones that are used for...
Here's that last frequent break I warned you about, and then we'll be back for a longer period of time for conversation. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson, Ph.D. in physics from Cornell, and his LibertyCalling.com site, and a discussion of the physics of what happened to the World Trade Center towers. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back. This is Mark Dancoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of Austin, Texas, who has a website entitled libertycalling.com. He's a paleoconservative, and for purposes of this discussion, most importantly, has a Ph.D. in physics from Cornell University in 1974. And again, as we re-engage in conversation with Dr. Larson, I would urge you to get to libertycalling.com. Either right now or at some future point, take a look at these 9/11 articles that are posted on his website. Again, Sophia Schafquat's video of an hour and a half is listed there. Her radio interview is listed there. The Stephen Jones Journal of 9/11 Studies article from September of 2006 is listed there, the URL for it. Then there's Gordon Ross's article in August of 2006, which discusses how these towers were demolished. And as you continue to go down the page, Frank Legge, who has a Ph.D. and is involved with something called the Logistical Systems Consulting of Perth, Western Australia, has another article in the Journal of 9/11 Studies in November of 2006 that I suspect, as we, at Dr. Larson's suggestion, go through all of those bits and pieces of information sequentially, taking our time to thoughtfully review what's there and to go over them again and again, we will begin to see a particular pattern emerging. Ron, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. Thank God for Martin Sage. I mean, I'd had my degree for a long time, but he was really helpful in that area. That's the way to do it. Stop trying to force a solution, and use all the data. See, that's the name of the game. That's a hint, by the way. The government solutions, strangely enough, the professional engineering solutions, I think in all cases, they just didn't use all the data. They just didn't use it all, and they just approached it, and came up with a solution that's unsatisfactory. Anyway, we've got the bodies and bones, no bodies, concrete turned to dust. How does that happen? It doesn't happen by falling. The way you do this is with explosives. Now, there are explosives like GARES explosives, carpentane gas and air explosives. Spark plug to set it off, put it in a drum, it explodes. There's a figure of merit you got to use. I mean, how effective is an explosive, for instance? Well, one of the measures is the detonation velocity of the wave. You're not getting remember, a regular sound wave travels at about 1,000 feet per second, roughly. Now, a shock wave is a little bit different. What happens is that you have a broad range of frequency. I'll make this as simple as possible. When you have a bang, it's not a tone, is there? It really isn't a tone. Well, let me just throw an idea out. Just accept it. That if you take any pulse, you can turn it into a summation of simple tones or sine waves. They're all different frequencies. You've got to put them together. And if you put them all together electronically, you'll get a pulse out of it. You'll get a sharp bang in that area. Turns out that the speed of different tones travel at different speeds. Now, get the next concept. If that's so, that means that the tones will pile up, right? So you get a sharp pressure wave. This is, like when ever used to hear the sonic booms. That's a pressure wave. It's traveling at typically faster than the speed of sound in air, way faster. Okay. Same thing true with explosives. Now, let me give you some numbers. This is rough, real rough stuff. If you have explosives like, here are the titles for them, these are just terms, HMX or RDX, speed is about 25,000 feet per second. Remember, sound travels at 1,000 feet per second. So the shockwave travels high. It's a lot of pressure in it, and it accesses all the nooks and crannies. Got that concept? So you can get at the concrete. You can just break it up into dust in that area. Can I prove it? I don't know. I'm not going to try to do the calculation, but I know this is what happens in that area. If you have something like, like dynamite, I think it's about half that roughly in that area. And then you get down to gas, air explosives, et cetera, and it's 5,000 feet per second, et cetera. There's another quantity that's a French term. It's called brisance, the ability to crack. And that increases with velocity. So here's the thought here. I think Professor Jones mentions both of these two, HMX and RDX. It was not only cutter charges in there that were set off, but high brisance charges. And this allowed the steel to be thrown up into the air. This allowed, this gave you your pyroclastic flow. And mechanical ways don't do it. As far as the molten steel in the basement, we had iron come out of that. Remember, the formulation that there is thermite is iron oxide plus aluminum gives you aluminum oxide. Ooh, isn't that interesting? It's a powder. It's a white powder. That's part of the powder floating around, or part of the face powder, so to speak, we saw in that area. That's part of the deal in that area. So as far as the iron in the basement is accounted for there. Flames in the building due to jet fuel crashing and burning. The temperature is way too low. NIST said that was true. So that steel, the iron steel, had to come from somewhere. That certainly sounds to me like it came from the cutter charges doing that sort of business. Also, the remember the data we had in the freefall times, pancaking is really impossible. You really need some explosive to cut away the material below the floor. And the explosive, by the way, let's go back to the 45-degree cuts in the steel. I mean, there's no reason to cut. Say you're trying to cut steel up to put it on a truck. You're not going to cut it at 45 degrees, which is harder to do, cut straight across your 45 degrees. Yeah. It certainly seems to me like there were cutter charges. That's the evidence of that. Remember I said the thinning of steel? Remember I mentioned that FEMA found that out and the eutectic mixture? That fits, plus a lot of sulfur in there. That fits along with the picture of having that thermate as part of the cutter charges because the heating would form this eutectic mixture that it would drive the melting point of steel downward and then cause it to melt in, say, in sheets. So not only do you get the cutting, but you get, you know, the thickness reduced by that. The explosions of Petter are series typically used for controlled demolition. You get a bing bag in the beginning and you get to shake things up. And of course, flashes and squibs and things like this. Again, go to Implosion World, I-M-P-L-O-S-I-O-N, World in that area. You'll convince yourself about a lot of things by doing that. I did mention something else here, but it's really important to measure it. Remember I said, hey, there were some thoughts of nukes around there? Well, the people there that are, I guess I'm trying to think of, I think it was Lawrence Livermore Laboratories went out there and did some surveying on the chemistry, what was in the air, what was in the ground, et cetera, on everything, chemicals, radioactivity. And they found some what's called radioactive tritium. Tritium, you know, three nuclei. Tritium is H3, which means that there's one neutron, two neutrons, and one proton. They have the same weight in the nucleus. So that's it's a radioactive gas, it turns out to be. And that was surveyed. That was found out there. Now, that's going to be present if you have nukes, enhanced, what are called enhanced nukes, which are fusion. We'll talk about that in a second here. Fusion, you push together the hydrogens and deuteriums, you squeeze them together and fire them off, and they coalesce and they form helium. You don't have to write all this down. Just get the idea. Forms helium. So you get helium shooting out at 4 MeV. That's the energy of the particle. Helium atoms or alpha particles, same thing, and 14.7 MeV neutrons coming out. But anyway, to set your mind at ease here, tritium is also present in gun sights. If you have any interest in pistols, the way I do, and a lot of people do, you look at some of the sights, they're glowing sights, or sometimes wristwatches. It's radioactive material in there. That was present above background level at ground zero, but that was accounted for by the Livermore people by saying it was probably in the exit signs and the airplanes and in the buildings and in the gun sites. There were a lot of cops lost in that deal. So that's accounted for. There was nothing else found. I mean, there was just nothing else found. Nobody found, by the way, alpha particles. I have written an article. He said, well, there could have been alpha particles because you have to have expensive instruments to detect it. Come on. These people don't scrimp on money when they, you know, these government organizations, they need an instrument, they'll buy it. So as far as I'm concerned, there were just no alphas floating around. Alphas don't penetrate real well. They tend to put radioactive burns in the skin in that area. Anyway, that's about the radioactivity. So you really don't have any radioactivity. If you look at the buildings, by the way, what's really striking, remember I mentioned these, we checked these mesh structures, a lot of it standing on the site, just standing up, you know, in full, I wouldn't say full length, but large sections. It wasn't really destroyed as such. Can't find any, you can't find, aside from the 45-degree jobs, when the building came down, if you looked into the motion of the damaged area moving downward, those columns moved downward also. That's part of the information here. So to summarize that, we've got a lot of data here. 45-degree cuts.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com in his discussion from a physics point of view of what happened to the World Trade Center buildings at 9/11. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Dr. Ron Larson of Austin, Texas, who has a website entitled libertycalling.com. Dr. Larson has a doctorate in applied physics and materials science from Cornell University. He obtained that in 1974. We've been talking today about this whole issue of 9/11 and the World Trade Center towers and Dr. Larson entitles a simple, verifiable physics-based explanation for the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings on 9/11. Ron, go ahead, sir.
Okay. Good, and thanks for mentioning the website again. And my email address is ron@libertycalling.com. And I mentioned in there, I've been broadcasting in various places, out in Taylor, a bunch of other places in the past, throughout the country, actually part-time, while I was a physicist, and I really enjoyed the broadcasting business, and I still do. I have a studio here at home, and it's really set up. I was streaming on Live 365 for a number of years, stopped that a few years ago, and I've just started up again, so it's going to be a live show. I've done some testing just recently on it. I think we should be able to, say next week, have regular one-hour shows on it. It's going to be live365.com. You go to my website, and it says radio show, I believe, in the column on the left Live 365, and you just click over there, and it'll take you to the window to get into it. I'll also be putting up archives of it. So after a while, we'll have quite a bit of archives into it. Then, say, from 9 to 10 in the evening, I'm trying to figure the best time to run this again. And we'll have the have a live show, maybe 1 hour, maybe expand it to two. Who knows what? It's a good way of getting the message out there. So anyway, that's kind of the advertisement for that. If you write to me, let me know what you think about doing that. I'm going to do it anyway, right? But give me some ideas in that area. Anyway, we've gone through all of the data, and I actually want to summarize that. Remember, we had the angular momentum business, the top of the building tilting over, turned to dust. I mean, that's magic as far as I'm concerned. 45-degree cuts in the end of the steel columns, explosions, patterns just like used for controlled demolitions, flashes, squibs below the demolition line, sea implosion world for all that sort of stuff, no radioactivity around, dust particles accountable for, no other way that I can, you have to blast it. No reason to have HMX and RDX in the building. It really isn't, right? So those, I think those are the key elements here. Timing of the falling of the bit with free fall timing of the buildings, molten steel in the basement. I mean, you don't hear about this a lot on the evening news. You really don't. So that's why we're bringing it out here. It's in a lot of papers, but people say it once and then you forget about it. So let's get on to, and by the way, the wheat checks. Remember those outer portions left pretty much intact. Let's get at the rest of it here. Here was the initial White House statement. I think that's where it came out of or something like this from the newspapers. I'm going to kind of giggle when I say this because it sounds so silly. Here's a story. Arabs fly airplanes into buildings, break columns, and the connection to the floor joists to the outer and inner columns core gets broken, right? Jet fuel is all over the place, and the flames melt or soften the steel, falls, floors pancake. And I say, sarcastically, they fall down and go boom, you know, like in the cartoons on Saturdays. Probably there's no account for the explosive signatures, nothing to do with the bodies that aren't there, concrete turned to dust, free fall times, you know, angular momentum issues, no accounting for the flashes or scripts, no accounting for the wheat checks. You know, how come they're out there? President's Commission, that was a doozy. I mean, I read through it. But the thing that popped out, they said, hey, there was no central core. There were just elevator columns. Well, that's silly. How can that be? These guys, we had, I mean, these were structural engineers that advised them. So there's collusion, I think, in this area. You know what I mean? So you got to be really careful. You're really careful. I read one of the reports early from some major engineering effort, and they talked about the high-temperature flames of the jet fuel. Come on, it's kerosene. You know, your grandma, great-grandma had kerosene lantern in the kitchen, you know? Now, indeed, when you have the kerosene in the right mixture with air and you have high pressure blowing through it like in a jet engine, you get sufficient temperatures. But that didn't happen in the buildings at all. So we don't have that. Okay, FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Administration, and this National Institute of Standards and Technology, pretty much the story was bowing of the steel due to the burning fuel, furniture, and et cetera. You got buckling of columns. Now, they never looked at the issue. All they did was, hey, this is how the collapse started, but they never went beyond that. They never looked at the slag issue, never even looked at it. They admitted that, never considered the missing bodies, never considered the angular momentum issue. The FEMA team did see that eutectic melting, as I mentioned before. Anyway, it's just fascinating. Bad job. So they never looked at the times after the weakening of the buildings in the fall. They just didn't do that. That's it. That's FEMA. That's a FEMA report.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Talking about the whole issue of what is likely to have happened in terms of the physics of this, but what it might mean politically. Dr. Larson, listening to your preliminary layout of the things that we need to consider that are more definitively and deeply discussed on your website at libertycalling.com under the headline 9/11 and World Trade Center Issues. For those of us like me just beginning to delve into this, I am acquainted with a little bit of what Stephen Jones has said on this subject, as American Free Press has reported it. I've read some of Morgan Reynolds' commentary on this. Paul Craig Roberts has said some things in his op-ed pieces that indicate that he smells a rat in terms of the official explanation for 9/11. Right now, in terms of keeping in mind that you're a scientist and a physicist, and that, as you emphasize it, this whole business of coming to conclusions is something that has to be based on verifiable evidence, and sometimes the data leads us in new and different directions. But tentatively right now, what would you say in summation is the most likely scientific explanation in summary for what happened? And then what do you think are the political implications of this? Who and what do you think was involved, if you had to guess?
Okay. Let me – I'm rolling out of my way here. Let me throw out the concepts of Professor Jones and Gordon Ross, because these are the sure. ones that make most sense. And then what I'm saying is I favor that combination. The with Jones, of course, he came up with the thermite cutter charges, never said where they were going to be put, never really addresses the concrete being turned to powder or steel being thrown out, does talk about the angular momentum issue. He addresses the free fall, addresses the molten metal in the basement, and relates it to thermite and thermate. Estimates, by the way, about 1,400 pounds of some sort of charge would be needed to bring the building down. Doesn't describe the placement of the charges, but if you think about it, I mean, probably the first thing you think is put them all over the place, right? You may need a lot of explosive. I've seen numbers that are 10 times bigger than this, some estimates based on some numerical calculations. The question is, how do you bring it down? How do you make it simple and still account for everything? The Gordon Ross paper is really good. What he talks about is the following, and he uses the photographs to demonstrate it. You can go to the site. There are four phases. The whole idea is to blow the building apart by sections. I mean, which is better to do? You know, put explosives all over the place, right, and rely primarily on explosives to rip everything apart, or bring the sections down separately, right, and have gravity do a lot of the work. So, anyway, four phases. Phase one weakens the structure by attacking the central core structure, dissociating its structure at a level below the impact plane. An apple core, a coring machine, you know, cut the cores out, and then, of course, use the cutter charges at 45 degrees to drop the central section. Number two, you've got to weaken the strongest part of the building, which is the corners. You blow those away. You take the contacts there. Then you dissociate the floor to the perimeter columns, and that's phase three. And finally, you attack the remaining core structure. So everything comes apart and crashes to the ground. This is why the weak checks were present. Simple solution. The explosives, the HMX, RDX, you know, produce the powder in that area. And so that works out just as a real interesting combination. So if you add Jones's ideas and about all the other things together, you get a combination together. So that's the best picture that I can see. I want to just mention some other ones because I've got to mention these. Professor Fetzer, Judy Wood, Ed Ward, et cetera. Talk about using nukes. They talk about using particle beam lasers and a variety of other things. Never say exactly how it works. You've got to have exactness in this thing. I know it's hypothecated. It's a hypothesis, but need details in that area. I don't believe you need that kind of energy. I really believe if you use the Gordon Ross approach, it's going to work. By the way, believe. You can say, well, you don't have the calculations. Well, neither do these other guys. NIST and FIV, they don't do – actually, NIST did set up a model and put a lot of parameters in it and wiggled everything until they could get the building to come down with the result of the airplane hitting it. Well, that's not fair. You're not using all the data, right? So I can speculate. I can create this hypothesis also. Anyway, let me tell you, I've done a lot of reading on nukes. I've been involved in nuclear energy way back. And so there's a fellow by the name of Andre, A-N-D-R-E-G-S-P-O-N-E-R, French. If you know any French, I guess it's Andre Spooner, Independent Scientific Research Institute in Switzerland. He's all over the place in articles, all over the web, all over the literature, et cetera. One of his many papers, recent, Fourth Generation Nuclear Weapons, Military Effectiveness and Collateral Effects in that area. What he does is he describes a different type of weapons, you know, systems, first, second, third, and fourth. Fourth is the only one that's pure fusion, right? Push the hydrogens and deuteriums together, and that produces helium, and then there's energy released. It's huge, huge. You just need a little bit of either a lithium hydride and deuterium hydride, or you need, you know, the gases. It's just small. It's real tiny. The problem is to fire that off, you need a lot of power. what's been done in having sort of cooled hydrogen or fusion nukes, that, as far as I know, the pure stuff does not exist. By the way, if you have pure fourth generation, you wouldn't get that much radioactivity around. But as far as I know, it's just not being produced. In fact, he talks about all the labs working on just the technology for figuring how to compress the parts in it and fire it off. And they've been working on it for years. It's possible. But what he says here, just read the introduction here, is that it's a decade away. And this paper was written in May 2006. So that takes care of that one. Ed Ward talks about, you know, the tritium and all that other business. I don't know. I mean, just done it. Too complicated. Judy Wood, the space rays, I don't know. Finnish military expert all over the place. He's a Finnish, and he says, and he describes exactly how a nuke was used. Well, listen, he doesn't give his name, and there's no way of reaching him. So what's the deal? Tom Bearden talks about scalar wave interferometers. That's all the that's just way out as far as what I'm saying. By the way, I have found some papers where scalar wave, electromagnetic waves have been generated, et cetera, on a laboratory basis. I've got to work those things through. By and large, I don't believe it at this point. Too complicated. Way, way, way too complicated. So what I see here is that you're in pretty good shape with that combo of Gordon Ross and Professor Jones. Remember, keep it simple, right? And as far as what I'm seeing here is if we can get something together, I think enough people, hopefully now, will spread the word and propose this as a deal. I know I'm going to get people back saying, but have you thought about this kind of hydrogen bomb? Yeah, I've thought about it. If you use any sort of nuke, you're going to get with conventional, you're going to get fallout. It's plenty of radioactivity. That was not detected. So that's just too far out, and the other idea is too much. Now, you ask me, what are the political implications in this area? What do we do? What we surely have to do is, I want to get this together. I really need to write a series of articles, and if you guys let me put it in Breaking All the Rules News, that would be one of the ways of doing it. I think maybe a bunch of papers, you know, in that area. And that would be one way of getting the thoughts together. We have to get it a congressional committee. We have to get it something. The timing may not be right, but we got to do something. We really do. So the political implications are the following. You got to remember that we started to lose our freedoms. We started to go in a lot of wars right after 9/11. Now, for folks that have heard about the New American Century paper, reconstituting the military or something like this. They talk about that any improvement in our war-making abilities would never occur unless you had a Pearl Harbor event. That paper was written just before the 2001 elections, and it was written by the people, many of the people that are in George Bush's government. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It could be part of the government, George Bush's government. It could be, fraction. It could be CIA, hidden CIA people, little renegade groups created this thing. I don't know what. But I'm going to guarantee you somebody knew structural mechanics, knew the whole thing, and I guarantee they ran this on a computer. That's what we have to do. We have to run this model on a computer, have to build models and do that, and get it to somebody. The deal is we've got a Patriot Act. We've got all sorts of despotic things going on in this country, and it all seems to have fallen out of this event, and it all seems to have fallen out of the government's description, which are a bunch of Arabs with box cutters brought down, you know, crashed planes into airplanes. I haven't spoken about, you know, Washington deal. We don't even need that. See what I'm saying? Catch these boogers in this. We've got an issue. There have been a lot of lies around this thing, too. You remember Condoleezza Rice? Made the statement, maybe before the commission, I can't remember where it was, she said, who in the world would ever think of crashing airplanes into buildings? Come on. The government's been running exercises on this for years and years and years and years and years and years. So this is, they knew about this thing, and it's a lie. That's what it amounts to. So what I'm seeing is that our best hope, Mr. Tarpley talks about this issue, our best hope for getting some resolution on our constitutional issues is to blow this thing wide open. And the best hope is to get a clarity on this. People are fighting. Oh, it was a bomb. It was this. It was, you know, space rays. I'm not going to criticize people for that. That's nothing to do with that. But I want to alert the public to pay attention to the hard, hard, hard data. Pay attention to the models. Don't get carried away with a bunch of stuff and have your minds clogged up by stuff. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not knocking Bush. I mean, I don't know if he was involved intimately in it. So I don't know if that, is that the answer? I mean, is that kind of the area you'd like me to?
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems to me that as I look at this and look again at Stephen Jones and Gordon Ross and Frank Legge, and again, I have not read these position papers yet. I have a synopsis of what Jones has said in the past based on the American Free Press, but I would like to go into these articles on your website, libertycalling.com, in detail,
right,
and actually read word for word what Jones and Ross and Legge
you
say.
You betcha. Don't believe me.
It seems to me that if, in principle, they are correct, that we are dealing with some type of a controlled demolition here, that the establishment story that fires plus impact damage alone caused the collapse of these buildings, if that's false, if there was some type of a controlled demolition situation that caused this, then we're looking at, it seems to me, at some form of premeditation that doesn't involve the conclusions coming from the official report. And when we start talking about premeditation, we start looking at, what constituencies may have been involved based
yep.
upon who benefited. And we start talking about the surge in repressive domestic pieces of legislation like the USA Patriot Acts that followed 9/11. And when you start looking at things like this Project for a New American Century, and of course the position paper that they came out with, several of them, but the one suggesting that a Pearl Harbor type incident might be necessary in order to create the public clamor for a major military expansion in the Middle East. This certainly seems to me to be suggestive of some of the groups that may have had a role to play in this.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I come from in this area. So it's an iterative process. I mean, that's the way I look at it, right? You take this area and you say, there's a real problem, and you didn't answer these questions, guys, but we can answer them for you. And now we're going to produce some models and proof that that's true. So we're going to have to battle some people or find the right people to get into the right people. Key to this is testimony, direct and cross-examination, because this is the only way I think we're going to get at this thing. And the only way to get at it is prevent the people, like, they're nice people, but they did a job, problem mechanics, et cetera. What they did is they picked up all the loose pieces, all the straw men. And I know people, I know they're interested in throwing ideas out there, right? But please be aware that the people that want to put a cover on this whole thing will use these straw man articles. By the way, straw man means essentially what you do is you find something that was totally speculative. There may be a lot of good other material in the article, but they pick that out and say, see, this guy's a jerk, and that whole organization is a bunch of jerks. Don't listen to us. You got to believe NIST. You got to believe FEMA. You got to believe our valiant president. So,
you know, the other context for me in all of this is that, of course, when it was suggested for years after the event that Franklin Delano Roosevelt knew a lot more about Pearl Harbor and was involved in many more things behind the scenes than had ever been acknowledged or even hinted at by the Roberts Commission, these folks were, of course, dismissed as kooks and peripheral political weirdos and things of this sort. And yet all of these years later, with Robert Stinnett's book, Day of Deceit,
right,
The Truth About FDR and Pearl Harbor, you've got Freedom of Information Act documents that have been reproduced in that book, which show just how much Roosevelt knew, which show that we not only were decoding the diplomatic communications of the Japanese government, but that we had a very extensive Navy military cryptology department going on at that time. It was actually intercepting Japanese military communications, including communications between Yamamoto and Admiral Nagumo as he was on his way to Hawaii. So, you know, you look at all of this, and then, of course, the McCollum Memorandum and the fact that Roosevelt had requested of his chief of the Office of Naval Intelligence a specific plan, what turned out to be a 14-point memorandum from McCollum in October of 1940, that basically outlined what Roosevelt would need to do to provoke an attack to actually start a war. And so all these years later, for those who choose to read it, there's all sorts of documentation that to me in effect prove that Franklin Delano Roosevelt not only knew about Pearl Harbor in advance, but played an active role in provoking it.
Absolutely.
And what the implications of that may be for evaluating 9/11, maybe we can take up for a couple of minutes after the break. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called Wrist Ease, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. Wrist Ease comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, Wrist Ease is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. Wrist Ease is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. Wrist Ease provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order Wrist Ease now at wristease.com. That's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE, wristease.com. Once again, that's Wrist Ease, WRISTEASE.com.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Ron Larson of LibertyCalling.com. I would urge you to get to his site to take a look at, again, this Sophia Schafquat film of an hour and a half that's there. Also, Stephen Jones, who was formerly teaching physics, I understand, at Brigham Young University.
Right.
His Journal of 9/11 Studies article of September 2006 is there. Also, Gordon Ross's article is listed there. He holds degrees in both mechanical and manufacturing engineering, graduating from Liverpool John Moores University in 1984. And then, of course, Frank Legge's article. He is with the Logistical Systems Consulting of Perth, Western Australia. And that November 2006 Journal of 9/11 Studies position paper is something I plan on taking a detailed look at in the future. Ron, I wanted to ask you, Wendy Campbell of Marwen Media was on this show some days ago and making something of Larry Silverstein, the owner of the World Trade Center buildings,
mm-hmm.
and the circumstances surrounding his acquisition of those buildings and the taking out of the additional insurance mm-hmm. and so forth, and then the whole issue of what it would have taken in terms of long-term regular access to those buildings in terms of planting, planting something that would have caused a controlled demolition. She clearly believes that this is suggestive of an Israeli connection to all of this. In tandem with the Project for a New American Century position papers, which suggest a heavy Jewish neoconservative involvement in the production of some of that stuff. What do you think of the theory? Some people believe it to be more than a theory that Israel could have been involved in this.
I think it's, I mean, there's a lot of bright people over there. They have a nuclear program. They've had it since, 1960 or so. That's all possible. My thinking goes, yeah, they could be involved, but I don't have the evidence.
That's where I'm coming from on this. I think, I'm suspicious, but I can't say that for one minute I feel that I have the data that if I were an attorney, a prosecuting attorney, I could present to a court
right.
to obtain a conviction on this. I guess where I'm coming from is I see enough pieces of a puzzle there that certainly is suggestive of a need for a comprehensive investigation, not simply in terms of the physics of how these towers were demolished, but then if in fact they were demolished through some type of controlled explosive demolition process, we're then looking at, in my judgment, as some type of a deliberate, premeditated political conspiracy, and then we've got to get to the bottom of that.
I agree with that. And Webster Tarpley talks about four ways of approaching it. As I remember, one, made it happen, let it happen, variety of other combinations, right? I don't know. To tell you the truth, I don't know where it is. Because everybody is so, has so much blackmail in everybody. Anyway, libertycalling.com.
Yes, Dr. Ron Larson, I would like to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America Today and to point people again to libertycalling.com and the 9/11 World Trade Center section of that front page. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off today from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'll be back with Nathan Condit tomorrow, The Beast on the East River, the UN threat to America's sovereignty. God bless you.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN.